This episode of Voices of the Elephant is sponsored by DayCamp for Developers. Listen for a special offer at the end of this podcast. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, we're here today with Paul M. Jones. Paul, you've been a guest with us before, and we appreciate you taking the time again to talk to us today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
We're here at Microsoft's SQL Server Jump In Camp, and you're working on a brand new project that I didn't hear of until I actually got here. So why don't you tell us about it?
So as some people may know, I'm the lead architect on a project called Solr. It's the oldest of the PHP 5 eStrict frameworks. It actually predates the Xen framework. Because it is sort of long in the tooth at this point, because there's so much more stuff available in PHP 5.3 now, we decided sometime late last year that it was time to think about updating the code base to make it more 5.3 friendly, mm-hmm. so that we can use things like formal namespaces, late static binding, closures, that kind of stuff. One of the problems that we've run into with Solr doesn't have to do with the technology, it has to do with the name. Because of the Apache SOLR project, anytime you say Solr, spelled S-O-L-A-R, people assume, first off, that you're talking about the Apache SOLR project, Solr. Mm-hmm. So we decided that as part of, and there's simply no chance they're going to change their name, even though we were around first, as far as I know. So we decided to change the name. We picked out, after some debate, the name Aura, again, spelled A-U-R-A. It is kind of a joke. AU is a symbol for gold, which is also a sun symbol, and Ra, of course, is the sun god, so it's still solar in a way. Mm-hmm. The idea is that we're taking all of the pieces from the original project that that we love, that we think do well. We are re-architecting them to make use of PHP 5.3. Instead of using service locator and the universal constructor, which I've been a big fan of in service locator environments, we're making stronger use of dependency injection. So Aura has at its core a dependency injection system, and then everything else can run through that. Another of the major changes is that Solr was originally distributed as a monolithic set of code. So you got the controller system, the model system, the logging, the caching, all of this is delivered as a single piece in one monolithic download. With Aura, we are taking a more package-oriented track where you can download individual portions of the Aura code base and use them as things in and of themselves. So you can download, for example, the signal manager and use just that, or the routing system and just use that. There is additionally a system piece that takes all of those different packages, brings them all under one roof, if you will, puts a skeleton of a project around them, and that allows you to get going with a full-up system as well. So whereas with the older Solr system, you got a system and then the entire set of libraries, with the new one, you can pick individual libraries or pick a system that has all the libraries already embedded in it.
Nice.
And then update those individually if you feel like it.
Okay.
So far we have everything hosted out of GitHub. You can go to aurapHP.github.com to see the front page for it, or you can go to github.com/aurapHP to see just the repos and the code base itself. We've got a number of guys working on it with me. There's a guy, for example, named Hari out over in India who's doing a lot of documentation-oriented stuff for us. He's provided some patches as well. We've got like Marcus, the thing is, because I correspond with these guys by email, I don't know how to say their names, but I can spell them. So Marcus Yashin, please don't hurt me if that's wrong. Guys like John Olofsson, we've got a number of, and there are other people, and please forgive me, I don't remember all the names right now. And there are, of course, a lot of other people on the mailing list as well, watching progress and providing input. And as I like to say, keeping me honest. It's very easy to get sort of put your head down and make things the way you think, the way they ought to be, the way you want them, without necessarily consulting your users until it's too late. We make sure to bring all this stuff up early and often so that we can make sure that everyone's happy early on.
I like the fact that you mentioned your documentation person first.
Oh,
because,
man.
It's a widely accepted meme that one of the things that makes PHP so great,
right,
is we've got a fantastic manual.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that obviously you put great importance, yeah, on making sure that your documentation is good and quality and up to date.
Absolutely. In fact, there's two aspects to the documentation. Hari is working with the narrative documentation, the readmes. We don't have full up like docbook or anything for that yet, but he's doing that. There's another guy named Mike Van Riel who runs the DocBlocks project, who volunteered very early on to maintain the API stuff, the API documentation, mm-hmm, for us using DocBlocks, which has been just a great time saver. With the earlier Solr code base, we actually have a sub library within that dedicated to documentation.
Hmm.
But since one of the goals is to pull out only the things that are necessary on 80% projects, most of them are not going to necessarily need their own dedicated documentation generator inside the framework. They're going to be using something else. So using Van Riel's stuff with DocBlocks has been just an absolute time saver.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, we're here at Microsoft's SQL Server Jumping Camp, as I mentioned, and obviously since you're working on Aura, you're working to implement SQL Server in Aura?
That's correct. So up until this point, we have not been concentrating on the SQL stuff. Of course, the original Solr has, in fact, for those who don't know, the Solr SQL stuff and the ZendDB stuff are very similar. That's because the ZendDB stuff actually grew out of early versions of the Solr SQL work. So up until this point, we haven't ported over the Solr SQL stuff. This week has been the initial foray into doing that. And whereas originally with Solr, we had done MySQL first, I'm in the unusual position of doing the SQL Server stuff first for Aura. That should make Microsoft happy to hear. The only problem is that it only works on Windows right now, because Microsoft does not provide Linux, does not provide, how can I say this diplomatically, it doesn't provide useful drivers or modern drivers for SQL Server on Linux.
You were much more diplomatic than Casey was when he talked about that subject yesterday.
Exactly. Well, this is on the record, and I don't want it to come back to bite me, so I'll restrain my other comments. The point is that we have now begun porting the SQL stuff over directly. And having done so, it's nice to be able to make use of the PHP 5.3 stuff, the form namespaces, mm-hmm, and also go about re-architecting things so that, you know, we've got five, 6 years of experience with the Solr SQL stuff. We know where the weak points are, and although most of them have been worked through, in fact, all of them have been worked through at that level, it's nice to be able to go back, clean up the code base, take all the stuff that's in there as workarounds, and re-implement it directly and correctly the first time in the new code base.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, when you're working with SQL Server, Microsoft SQL Server,
mm-hmm,
obviously it is very different than working with MySQL,
yes,
and the traditional databases that we in open source work with, Postgres, that kind of stuff.
Right.
What was the biggest hurdle that you hit?
There are two big hurdles. The first one, as I said, is the lack of a Linux driver.
Yeah.
Which means that you have to run it and test it on a Windows installation.
Mm-hmm.
The guys here at Microsoft have done a very good job of providing us the necessary operating system software, setting everything up for us. In this case, they provided a disk image for us that will run through VirtualBox with Windows 7 SQL Server 2008 R2 already on it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that all of my tooling, all of my editors, all of my files are over on the Macintosh side.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to, or rather I had to set it up so that there was a share between the Mac side and the Windows side. And there turns out to be a problem with is readable in PHP when it's running on Windows and looking at a Samba share. So when I was trying to run the tests, although I could invoke the tests and edit the files on the Windows side if I wanted to, PHP is readable, refused to recognize those files as readable on the Samba share.
Hmm.
That wasted about half a day for me trying to figure out what was going on there. So that was that was sort of stumbling block number one, was the fact that there are no Linux drivers means I had to go into an unfamiliar environment and then work around details that, again, that I'm not familiar with in that environment. Number two, and this is probably more common, this is a longer lasting one for me, is that in SQL Server, up until recently, it's been difficult to impossible to do limit offsets. Microsoft SQL Server has select top, which allows you to pull, say, the first 10 records out of a result set, but it will not allow you to get the second 10 records out of the result set. You would have to read the first 20 and then discard the first 10, which is not the kind of thing you need in a web environment where you have things like pagination.
Yeah. Thanks.
In more recent releases, there has been something, they've added something called the row number over strategy, mm-hmm. which means that which emulates offsets in a way. You still have to modify the query so that you have an inner query that is your main query, and then an outer query that does this bit of wrapping so that it selects a certain number of rows from within that inner query. And that's useful. In the newest version that is going to be released later this year. Am I allowed to? I don't remember. This is not under.
No, we're not under NDA.
I didn't think so. So later this year, they're providing yet another way of doing it that is much more like the limit offsets that we're used to in Postgres, MySQL, SQLite, and other databases, where you have your normal select. You don't have to do any wrappers around it. And instead of saying limit 10, offset 10, you say, if I recall correctly, limit 10. Or I'm sorry, you give it an offset first, so you say offset 10, mm-hmm. and then you say fetch next 10 rows.
Yeah.
So that's the equivalent of limit 10, offset 10, which is a whole lot better as far as maintaining or being able to transfer your approach in the other databases to limits to SQL Server. That for me is probably the single biggest roadblock, mm-hmm. is that when you're writing an abstraction library of some sort, you don't want to have to go through a lot of query. You don't have to edit the SQL string too dramatically because there's a lot more chances for you to break things.
Yeah.
If all you have to do is append a string to it for the limit offsets, that's infinitely easier to do. So that's I have to give Microsoft kudos for finally getting around to a way that mimics the other open source databases on that.
Okay. Now, have you found anything that been pleasantly surprising in working with SQL Server and Solr?
It's the second version of Solr, so that's fair. Things that are pleasantly surprising, once I got the connection strings going, mm-hmm. and once I had an environment that worked for me, it was just like working with anything else. I had expected there to be more details to it than there were. I had expected. Now, of course, there are still details. Quoting strings quoting identifiers is not the same. Mm-hmm. Whereas in MySQL or Postgres or SQL, they use a backtick or a single quote or a double quote for quoting identifiers. In Microsoft SQL, you use an open bracket and a closed bracket, which means that you have to go to, you have to change how you quote your identifiers. Under the hood, you have to make some changes because you can't be guaranteed you're using the same character. But aside from that, it's been very like working with any other database. The nice thing is that once there's a Linux driver, it's going to mean at least for framework authors and for anyone else who's interested in being able to provide similar database services within a heterogeneous mm-hmm. operating environment, it means that you're going to be able to take the SQL, the basic SQL that you write in one, and apply the concepts to any of the other systems, including SQL Server, which is really nice to be able to do.
Yeah, and I'm excited that they're at least talking about that these days. They're not. It's not a taboo subject. I don't know if any progress is being made, but for the longest time, they just wouldn't talk about it. Now they're at least discussing it, because that will allow, a lot of companies have Windows behind the firewall, but have deployed Linux outside the firewall for their outer systems, and that will allow these outer systems to access all those company data stores that are behind the firewall.
Absolutely.
And I think that's going to be a great boon, not only for Microsoft, but for PHP in general.
For PHP in general, and for businesses in general. It means that they'll be able to use whatever is most effective for whatever their particular use case is, mm-hmm. without it having to affect other use cases. The decoupling, I mean, if you want to decouple in our programming, it's good to be able to decouple in your business processes as well.
Excellent.
There's another really pleasant thing about having come to Microsoft, and that is the people that are here. Mm-hmm. They have been very friendly. They've been very open. They've been very solicitous. It's really nice to come here and have, you know, a lot of people in open source regard Microsoft as the enemy camp in a lot of ways, which is not really merited. Mm-hmm. They've been very receptive to our comments. Anytime that we have presented a problem to them or presented an issue, they have either said, yes, we realize that's an issue, or they've said, we didn't know about that. We'll either do something about it, or we'll take it up the chain. Yeah. And see if they can do anything about it.
I was very impressed that Jonathan basically had a slide this morning and said, these are the things we've heard from you. Absolutely. Have we missed anything?
John, and his last name is Guerin, is that right? Is it Guerin?
I believe, I have no idea.
We'll go with John Guerin, and he can correct us in the notes. very receptive, and yes, it's very clear that they've been listening to us. As you said, they put up that slide, and it also looked like they put things in the order in which we said they were a problem. So there were, like, I don't remember, 6 or 7 things listed on that slide. He's got the Linux driver listed as number one, which we've all been saying. So it becomes very apparent that even if they go back and try to say, well, we implemented 4 of the 5 things you asked for, if none of them is a Linux driver, we can point to that and say, you know, we said the number one thing is this, and these other things are nice, but...
If they ever do that, we're going to have to find something else to pitch
something
about.
Else to complain about. Yeah. You know what? I'll be happy to be complaining about other things besides that.
Yeah, and you're right. They've been very good. But one of the things I really appreciate, and I was thinking about this at dinner last night, was most of us talk to each other on a daily basis, but we see each other so rarely.
Yes.
So while they're getting great benefit out of this, the PHP community at large is getting benefit because there are 3 frameworks represented.
It's 4.
4 frameworks.
Take PHP is here, Zend framework is here, Gavi from David Zulka is here, mm-hmm. and of course Aura is here.
Aura, yeah. I mean, you guys get to just sit down and share ideas, and in a couple of cases, I've seen even sharing code and
Absolutely.
Saying, this is the way we're doing it. Oh, well, mind if I steal that? So
there's a lot of cross-pollination going on.
Absolutely, and that's a win for PHP. So we really are in their debt just for allowing us to get together, even in the evenings, just to swap ideas.
I agree.
Well, Paul, I appreciate all your time, and thanks again for everything that you do for the PHP community.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Voices of the Elephant. This podcast is copyright 2011 EICC Incorporated, and all rights are reserved. For more information on the podcast and to nominate someone to be interviewed, visit the website voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT. DayCamp for Developers is a one-day, technology-agnostic online training camp for web developers. We cover the topics that you won't find at any other conference at a price that every developer can afford. Visit our website today, daycamp4developers.com, and reserve your seat for the next class. As a listener of Voices of the Elephant, use the discount code VOTE to save $10 off your ticket. DayCamp for Developers. Invest a day in your career.